Hey, and welcome to the Joy Church podcast. If you'd like more information, check us out at www.joychurchnh.com or visit us in person at 55 Barnstead Road, Pittsfield, New Hampshire. We hope you enjoy and are blessed by this message. And now on to this week's sermon.
Hello, there we go. 5 minutes goes by really fast. We all love talking to each other. So in case you haven't noticed, by today, you can tell how important children are to Joy Church and how they're included in everything that we do. My heart is so warm to dedicate children. And we dedicate them. We don't baptize children because when they are old enough, they get to make their own decision. But we dedicate them. And a lot of that has to do with the parents and talking to them and teaching them how to raise their children, and that they're not alone, that we're all with them. We all need each other in that. So what a huge, huge blessing. Just a couple announcements. Next Saturday is our community breakfast. How many have been to community breakfast before here at Joy Church? It's awesome. Of course, there's bacon and all kinds of other things. 8:30. We start serving at 8:30 Saturday morning. And then this coming week, so we didn't have our prayer night last Wednesday. We always have it the first Wednesday of the month, but because of the holiday, we moved it to this coming Wednesday. So I want to encourage you, if you need prayer or you know anybody, they don't have to be part of Joy Church, that needs prayer for anything, this is the place to be. That night is dedicated to prayer. And we specifically love to pray over people, to believe with them for healing, whether it's emotional, spiritual, physical. We want to come alongside people. So invite people to come to that. Well, today is our last message in this series that we've called Curious Faith, where we've been asking questions and wondering why God does or doesn't do certain things. I think they're questions that we all ask or have asked at one time or another. And then just a sneak peek, come back next week because the next series is going to be so practical. We're calling it mouth management. Who needs some mouth management? You better all raise your hands. I need like 4 hands to raise. It might be a little bit prickly, and that's because we all need it. We're going to talk about things like complaining, gossiping, criticizing, lying, all those things that kind of creep in to us, and praying that the Lord will help us bless people with our words instead of curse them. The Bible says life and death are in the power of the tongue. But that's for next week. Let's go with this week. So today we're looking at John 3:16. John 3:16. How many people have heard that verse before? Almost everybody. So as we look at this scripture today, we look at God's word, and because it is a familiar scripture for so many of us, I want us to try and hear it, to listen to it, to feel it like it was the very, very first time we ever heard it. Scripture says this: for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, Jesus. They called him Emmanuel because that's God with us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in Jesus shall not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world. I grew up with a strong confidence, a strong belief that God did love the world. My problem is that I didn't know that God loved me. I actually didn't understand at all that how personal his love is. Can any of you relate to that? When you think about your life and when you think about the things that you know you've done, the things that you've said, the thoughts that you've thought, maybe you're a little bit like me and you might wonder, how could God love someone like me after the pain that I've caused to other people, the things that I've said and the things that I've done wrong? So we want to today, I want to try and answer the question, does God love me? Does God love me? So let's pray. Father, we ask that you would open up heaven today, reveal your love to us, that we could be changed by your power and your grace and your mercy and your unconditional love, so that we can share your love with others because of your son, Jesus. Amen. I think when we're not sure of God's love for us, it's very likely it's because we're thinking about the wrong kind of love. There's several different types of love, and today I just want to talk about two types for just the sake of this message. And the first one is this. There's a type of love that loves because the thing, the object, is valuable. It's a love that loves because whatever it is worthy of love. And that's the most common type of love. You might love your house, or more specific, your granite countertops, or you love your mom, hopefully, or ladies, you love your purse, or your shoes, your car, you love your car. Mike loves his piano. Sometimes we love things like our shoes because people will go, oh, those are cool shoes. Mike and Jake are both shoe people. They just love their shoes. They have more shoes individually than I have, for sure. And they also love playing golf. So that's a love that loves because the object itself is valuable. And the problem with this kind of love is that for us, some of us, we never feel valuable. We never feel worthy. We don't feel like we measure up even to our own expectations, never mind God's expectations. So there's another type of love, and this is what I want to focus today on, and it's a love that loves and gives value to the object. It's a love that loves not because the object itself is valued, but it actually gives value to the object. So here's a little example of this. So think about when you were little, what was your childhood cuddle toy? Most everyone had one, right? It could be a little stuffed bear or a monkey or, a rabbit, maybe a blankie or a doll. And here's what I'm guessing about that specific cuddle toy for you. Most of you probably gave it a name. I bet you gave it a name. And I bet you that it wasn't perfect. Chances are that particular cuddle toy, that thing that you hung on to as a child, it was flawed. I bet it was really flawed. Maybe it had a hole in it. Maybe it was torn. I was thinking, I don't really remember mine, but what I remember is my kids, what they had for those things. And my daughter, Jennifer, had a little stuffed bear. And so she called him Mr. Bear. And Mr. Bear went everywhere that Jennifer went. And it had holes. I sewed it 500 times probably, like it was just a mess, and it was stinky and smelly because she never wanted to give it up long enough so that you could wash it. Or finally we ended up going and buying another one so that when we had to wash it, we could give her another one, but she never liked that one. It was the exact same thing, but she never liked it the same as she liked the original one because it had her smells and everything on it. And then my daughter Janessa, who's 28 now, she had a doll, and she named the doll Miranda. Don't know why. But its fingers were all chewed off. At some point, she bit the fingers off, but she didn't care. She dragged that doll everywhere, literally. So even though those toys weren't perfect and they were flawed, what my girls did is they loved them. Right? If you think about what it was for you, you loved that toy, that stuffed animal, that blankie, whatever it was. Just visualize it for a minute in your mind. There was nothing valuable about it. Mr. Bear and Miranda, they weren't part of a collector's, item. They didn't do any tricks. Nothing. Some of the bears and dolls now, you pull strings and they make noises and do all that. Some of them will talk back to you and say, I love you. Theirs didn't do that. None of it. And if I tried to sell those items in the Joy Church yard sale, we probably couldn't have gotten a quarter for the youth and kids to go to camp. But my girls loved Mr. Bear and Miranda, and they dragged them everywhere. So how do we know how much God loves us? Well, Romans 5:8 says, God showed us. Scripture says, God demonstrates. He displays his own love for us in this. While we were still rag dolls, while we were still sinning, while we were disobeying and breaking the heart of God, he still displayed his love for us. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. And that's why I want us to hear it today like we've never heard it before. And maybe feel it like you've never felt it before. Not just here in our minds, but let's feel it in our hearts and believe it. That God loves you, God loves me with an unconditional, immeasurable love. And it's the kind of love that doesn't look for what's worthy in an object, but it's the kind of love that gives worth to that object. Our God doesn't love you because you're worthy, but God's love makes you worthy. Hallelujah. Yeah, amen. That's how good he is. That's how powerful he is. It's his grace, it's his goodness. And because love isn't just an action, it's not just what God does, but it's his whole essence, his whole being. It's exactly who he is. Scripture tells us that in 1 John 4, the Bible says, he is love. God is love. And watch this. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and he sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. 1 John 4:10, this verse is ridiculously powerful. But it's way more powerful when you think about who actually wrote it. So let's just play a little Bible trivia for a minute. You want to play? Say, I'll play. I'll play. Okay, if Sherry Mullen was here, she'd be ready, sitting on the edge of her seat, like ready to answer this question. She'd be all over this game. So here's the question. This verse is found in 1 John. Who do you think wrote the book of 1 John? John, it's not tricky. It's John. It's John. John, I was trying to trick you, but it was not tricky. This isn't John the Baptist, okay? He was already in heaven by this time. This was John who had a brother named James. And if you don't know, they were disciples, and they were not what we would call disciple material. They didn't graduate the top of their class. They weren't voted well, most well-behaved. They were rough. They were loud. They probably, swore. Some of you call that cuss. They probably did that up a storm. We might call them fishermen with a reputation. And they had a nickname, and it wasn't the Bible Brothers. These two guys were known as the Sons of Thunder. Sons of Thunder. That's just cool, right? I know we have some motorcycle people here. So in my mind, I'm like seeing Harleys and, you know, guys dressed in leather. Girls. We don't know what they did for sure to earn that title, but we can get a glimpse of why they were called the Sons of Thunder in Luke 9. So in Luke 9, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the Gospels, Jesus was coming into town, and the people, they weren't kind to him. They didn't welcome him. And Luke 9:54, here's what happened. When the disciples, James and John, when the Sons of Thunder, we can read that in Mark 3:17, saw this. They asked the Lord, "Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven and destroy them?" That's the Sons of Thunder. This was a guy or guys. He didn't just start fights. He finished them, right? This was like a dad. Some of you are this kind of dad at your kids' soccer games, you know, and you get thrown out. And you drive me crazy if that's one of you. But this is the kind of guy. He always finds trouble, gets in trouble wherever he went, wherever they went, the Sons of Thunder. And then one day, John specifically, he started spending time with Jesus. And every moment of every day, even though John didn't do anything to earn the love of Jesus, and even though there was nothing he could do to deserve the love of Jesus, Jesus just simply loved John. Thank you, Lord. And we don't know when it happened. It probably took some time. But little by little, John's identity, the way he started to see himself, changed. And how do we know that? We know that because in his gospel, John refers to himself as the one Jesus loved. Three times he called himself that. I'm the one that Jesus loved. So no longer the Son of Thunder. No longer, you know, John the hothead, the one in trouble, the, you know, screw up. But he was the one that Jesus loved. And I believe with my whole heart today that God wants me to tell somebody, no matter what your parents told you or said about you, no matter how somebody else made you feel, no matter where you might have fell short or what you thought, no matter what you said, no matter what you did, you are the one Jesus loves. You're the one. You're the one. And don't just hear that today in your mind. Feel it today in your heart. You're the one Jesus loved. Jesus said, if a shepherd has 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, the good shepherd leaves the 99. Why? Because he loves the missing one. The missing one. You are the one that Jesus loves. You are God's favorite, as Mike preached a few years ago. My friend Judy took that phrase with her. And I believe when she passed away from cancer about a year and a half ago, she knew that she knew that she knew she was the one that Jesus loved. It doesn't matter what you did. It doesn't matter how dark you might feel. It doesn't matter those regrets that you carry or the shame that you endure. You are still the one Jesus loves. Right now, those of you watching online, maybe you're watching 3 years from now or 10 years from now. Those of us in the room, What I want us to do for just a minute is to just close our eyes. And I want all of us to just feel it. Let's just say it on our own very softly. I am the one. I am the one Jesus loves. I am the one that Jesus loves. Now, all together in one sentence, let's all say it together. I am the one that Jesus loves. You can just feel it. You can say it. I am the one that Jesus loves. It's not, some of you are probably thinking, right, that's prideful. It's not a statement of pride. It's a statement of truth. That's how good God is. He's here. And he's loving you. And he's actively loving you right in this moment. If the worship team wants to come. And the amazing thing about our God is this, that our God doesn't and didn't shout his love from heaven, but he showed his love right here on earth. When Mary, a virgin, gave birth to a son, they called him Jesus, and he's the Savior who will save people from their sins. And sin is not a very popular word in our culture right now. But it simply means like missing the mark. It's just missing the mark. It's falling short of God's standard. And we've all done it and do it. I've done it too many times to count, for sure. And so have you. So have you. But that's the reason why we don't feel worthy. We feel unworthy of God's love because we know that we've sinned against God. And there's a God who loves you with a different kind of love. It's not a love that loves because that object, because you're valuable, but it's the kind of love that gives value to an object, to us. You are the one. You are the one. Whatever you did, let it go. The shame, the pain, the regret, he still loves you. Those of you that have children, can you just remember for a minute with me when you held them for the first time? And then the next 100 times over the next few months. But oh, the love in your heart that you felt was so incredibly deep. Like you would do anything for this tiny human. So much love in your heart, it hurt. It made you tear up. Some of us, it made us just sob uncontrollably. Just that feeling. And all they did was sleep and poop and cry. Right? That's it. And I believe the Lord is saying to us today, do we really think that our capacity to love our children supersedes his love for us? If God was speaking it to you personally and say, do you really think your capacity to love your children supersedes my love for you? And I pray today that we would be convinced and in the scripture that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the past, nor the powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation would be able to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:38. I remember hearing that verse for the first time and not understanding it at all. It was interesting because one of my friends brought me my baptism picture this morning, and I was looking at it and thinking like how excited I was that day, but how little I knew like what was to come, the best is yet to come, and what Jesus had for me. But I specifically remember the day that I heard that verse again and how it penetrated my heart and my soul, and I felt it so deeply. Nothing, Kathy, nothing can separate you from my love. Let's pray. Father, we ask today that our hearts would be open to your love. If you're here today in the room, or you're even watching online, if you're praying today and you are a follower of Jesus, you're a Christian, and you can think of, and you have some family members or some friends that don't know the love of God, you can lift them before God today. Just say a prayer. Ask God that he might give you the chance to show them that love. Father, we pray right now that those that we know that don't know you would be open to the work of your Holy Spirit. God, would you give us the chance to show your goodness, to show your love? God, provide opportunities for us to invite them to church. Can we just be a witness? Make us bold. Give us your wisdom. Give us your words to say. And we ask, God, that you would do what only you can do to reveal your love, your kindness, the thing that draws us to repentance, and that we could experience your love, your goodness, your grace, and your life. And as we keep praying today, some of you, you might be in a place where you're just feeling the weight of some of the things that you've done wrong. And you find yourself asking that question, how could God love someone like me? And remember, the love of God isn't based on your goodness, but it's based on who God is. And he's love. And his love is so very different than what we see in the world. His love is a love that gives value to us, to the object. And you're so valuable to God that he sent his son Jesus, born of a virgin, who didn't inherit that same sin nature from an earthly father, but the heavenly nature from a heavenly father, Jesus, the Lamb of God, who loved us while we were sinning, who gave his life, died in our place, and rose from the dead so that anyone, and that includes you, anyone who calls on the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name, he will forgive your sins. He will make you brand new because you are the one that Jesus loves. And as we call on the beautiful name of Jesus, he hears our prayers. He forgives our sin. He makes us brand new no matter what we've done, no matter how bad we feel. We are the one that Jesus loves. You are the one that Jesus loves. And you can receive his love. You can surrender and give your life to Jesus today. All All you have to do is pray and ask. And at Joy Church, nobody prays alone. So we all pray together. Pray after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. I receive it. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Save me. Make me brand new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so I can know you, Jesus. So I can know your love and show your love. Thank you for new life. I give you all of mine. In Jesus' name, amen. You are the one Jesus loves. At Joy Church, we like to say, I'm God's favorite. You have permission to go around and say that. It's not a prideful statement, it's a truth. Jesus loves you that much. And I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. And I know that the very best is yet to come. Have an awesome Sunday and a great week. We'll see you next week for Mouth Management. Don't miss it.
We hope you enjoyed this message and were blessed by what you learned. If you'd like to hear more of our podcasts or to get more information about our church, head to our website at www.joychurchnh.com. We look forward to hearing from you and sharing with you next Sunday's sermon. Until then, we love you and there's nothing you can do about it.